You are listening to Post Psychic, and I'm your host, Lacey Virgin. You can find details on how to submit a letter at www.laceyvirgin.com/postpsychic. I am a neurodivergent occult practitioner currently operating in Ohio, with a focus in psychic work, mediumship, natal astrology, and magic. In this work, I am deeply passionate about exploring the paranormal and other experiences, seeking to open up avenues that hopefully allow those interested in navigating the unexplainable to learn how to drop in, not get out of, their own magical lives. Post Psychic is a podcast driven by listener submissions via snail mail. Letters can be handwritten, typed on a typewriter or computer, or written through speech, voice-to-text function, under a pseudonym, alias, or pen name. Concerning any arena or focus that traditionally leads people to seek out divination and readings of a magical, mystical nature. The only hard-edged rule is the use of an alias and your letter arriving in analog form through the post. I then interpret your letters psychically and energetically, discussing all that came up regarding your inquiry, messages, felt sensations, emotions, imagery, phrases, etc. This is the basis of every episode of Post Psychic. Letters should be sent to 1391 Grandview Avenue, number 12488, Columbus, Ohio, 43212. In this introductory episode, we will start our journey through the overview of the show concept, discuss and highlight some approaches and letter construction, tips and tricks on entering altered states of consciousness, how to shift into and connect with the quiet voice, and finally, the origin of post-psychic and some astrology of how the concept came to be. This podcast is an ask from Saturn and my Saturn return, and a culminating point to the past 3 decades of experiencing the paranormal. To begin our discussion of the show concept, let us ask, what brings people to seek out a reading from an occult practitioner? Number one, life changes, major transitions, career shifts, grief, death, augmenting your own perception of identity, closing old cycles and chapters, new beginnings. Number two, interpretation and advice on current and hopeful overall direction. How satisfied or not satisfied are you on your current path? How did you arrive in your present reality? What are energies that can assist you in getting closer to where you'd really like to be? Simply, what are decisions you will have to make to further your own life? Number three, internal landscapes. How do you feel inside? What is your operative, emotional, and energetic baseline? What is the energy you are in the majority of your time? What do you carry with you? Is there any content hanging around within that can be released, and how might we go about this? Number four, actionable steps to alignment. If you could identify the next 5 crucial changes you'd need to make, would this be helpful? How do we get clear about what lights us up and sparks passion in our lives? How do we stop doubting what is for us when we find it? How do we release shame around meeting our own needs and accepting good things? Number 5, paranormal experiences. Daily or just a few times in the life, how do we integrate experiences that are difficult to describe? Witnessing the unexplainable can make us feel constantly othered. How do we deal with having little in the way of social resources in our sphere? Those who would be open and attentive to the things we have to say, etc. Number 6, seeking deeper relationships with the divine. How could we confirm messages from other, if and or when they're happening? How do we make this connection clearer? How do we find time, space for this relationship in our lives in ways that make sense and do not overwhelm or overload us on a sensory level? This is by no means an exhaustive list, so if an inquiry falls somewhere on the spectrum but I have not mentioned it, please register this as me officially encouraging you to write a letter. Ultimately, I envision submissions sent in under an alias of your choosing because I feel this offers a protective cloak of obscurity. It is imperative for the safety of all involved to lean into the nest of anonymity because I will directly read your writing in a public format. Protecting the sanctity of your inner voice is the first priority, and it is my wish that this be explicitly known and understood. When writing under this afforded concealment, we will experience a dual mechanism of confidentiality and a safe container for what I call the quiet voice. This is my label for that small yet mighty voice that sings through each of us in critical moments of our reality. When we are considering turning a pivotal corner or making a choice that we know will define the next few years, next decade, or sometimes the ones that shape us forever. The quiet voice is with us at night as we lie in our beds. It flows through us in the darkness and is incredibly clear in those twilight moments when it is easier to tend to our own personal yearnings. Who would we be if we allowed space for this internal self? Are there ways we could lessen the gap between our externalized conditioned persona and the quiet voice that tends the flame that lights up our inner chamber, the seat of our souls? I would like to take a second to mention that I'm writing this show script during a rather activating 12th house transit. My 12th house lord, Mercury, resides in the 7th, and I spend most of my time in deep discussion with other people about aspects of the self and life that are elusive and often defy explanation and the ability to be perfectly verbalized to the world around us. I'd say that this is the major influence as to why I am interested in the sending and receiving of veiled transmissions. Client sessions teach me continuously that this is not phenomena that happens just once or twice in a lifetime, but a rich and vibrant ongoing human experience that occurs every single day. The end goal of Post-Psychic is to open an avenue of access for anyone who has interest in seeking out the occult or investing in a reading with any type of magical practitioner, yet may feel lodged in hesitancy or uncertainty. Those who are new to expressing their own high strangeness, those who are not new to their own high strangeness, but perhaps have a lack of social resources at present, it is not always a simple process of communicating experiences that fall outside of the margin of accepted material reality. And then even once you arrive at a place of comfort in doing so, where do you go? Who do you even seek out? How do you even begin this type of search? The other objective is to offer this type of service, the same interactive psychic interpretations I conduct in client sessions, for free. This pairs well with anyone who might not feel completely comfortable stepping forward, who may not feel ready to expose their quiet voice and internal landscape to another, and simply for anyone who is experiencing a need for this work at present but are operating with financial obstacles. It is my belief that this work is for everyone, and Post-Psychic carries me ever closer to this goal. Writing itself is an act of magic. You are giving life to the quiet voice. You are honoring the hidden place within. You are crystallizing an energetic essence in a container, a format that can live somewhere outside of you. It is purposeful replication. When anyone references, quote unquote, intention is everything, or merely talks about intention setting, I think if that works for you, that's wonderful. It can and has worked for me in various arenas of my life, but I found my magical works are wildly more efficient as soon as I write something down. As soon as it is recorded or notated or even spoken into a device or medium that is actively recording me, everything comes alive. The letter writing process for submitting your inquiry to Post-Psychic is specifically meant to help you shift into what is called an altered state of consciousness. This is a term often used in magical circles and by practitioners, but one that may still feel inaccessible to most or to those who are new to engaging in this type of work. I'd like us to analyze how many mundane things are effectively altered states of consciousness and how we may begin to recognize and respect when we are in them. Scenarios I clock as altered states. Rituals of care and tending to the body. This can be brushing your teeth, combing your hair, anointing the body with oils, lotions, fragrances, etc. It is at a basic level time set aside where the quiet voice can more readily emerge. What materials and fabrics do you reach for that provide you with a sense of comfort and safety in your physical body? What are your favorite smells? How do you feel emotionally before brushing your teeth or combing your hair, and how do you feel afterwards? These mundane tasks invite us to observe a shift in felt states. More examples. Cooking and eating a meal. Selecting ingredients. Texture play. Scent is a factor here again. Everything stated so far is tending to our most basic needs. We need all of these things to survive and often become neutral to how prominent of a role they play in our day-to-day existence. Can you remember a time when you felt most comforted and cared for? Most protected and honored because you weren't in a rush to find that which would soothe you? It was already in your sphere of influence and you could easily interact with it at will. When was the last time you remember being aware of occupying and feeling a sense of deep satisfaction? It may seem like these simple examples have nothing to do with writing, but I'd like to ask you to think about whatever your current relationship with writing is and what your current relationship is to engaging your senses. This is how we begin to navigate and interpret energy made available to us, energy of an experience, of a memory, of someone else, coming in from some unknown place. We must seek to try to practice the habit of witnessing. A witnessing of our truest selves and what is authentic resonating material. How else do we ever acknowledge the truth of our lives? How else do we know if an external other is acknowledging these same inherent truths? To experience magic, we are often first tasked with the objective of slowing down. I personally believe this has a lot to do with Saturn and basic physicality and getting in touch with our own beingness, but no matter the energetic or planetary current you're attempting to engage, we need to learn how to filter and how to be aware when something in the bodily and emotional centers responds or reacts to seemingly innocuous stimuli. Before the letter writing even begins, it could be beneficial to explore our own personal histories with writing. When have you received a letter written personally to you from someone else? When has someone taken deliberate time in their lives to direct the seated state of attention and thought and care to you? How has it felt for you to receive a letter? If you've ever received a letter or postcard from someone, how did you feel before receiving it and after opening? Did you ever pass notes to childhood friends in school? Did you keep a journal and write your private innermost thoughts, the first small rumblings of the quiet voice? How did you feel when tasked with the objective of writing personal narratives in scholastic settings? Have you ever taken the time to write a letter to anyone in your life? It can be helpful to note down any question above that elicited a pronounced embodied emotional reaction. Sit with these questions. Allow yourself to wonder, why or why not? Giving yourself time to ponder any or all of the above is a very simplified but effective method of entering an altered state. It can really be shifting into internal experiences that you don't often make time for. It can be giving yourself the approval to think in deeper ways about parts of yourself in your life that may have always felt detached from you. This is a critical part of magic, permitting yourself to believe that something not currently in your sphere can eventually or immediately be experienced based on making the decision to do so. If you've never felt like anyone was invested or curious about your own quiet voice, and this has led to the dismissal of listening to it at all, please write a letter. I am invested and infinitely curious in the expansion of your quiet voice. I want to believe and witness the unfolding of the quiet voice within myself and in everyone I care about. I want to believe that this can be a true part of my lived experience. I want to witness firsthand what it means to be connected to people who are unafraid to share the content that keeps the flame of the inner chamber going. What keeps your hope intact when it feels like there is nothing? What does the quiet voice say in the physical or emotional tombs of your life? What are the words that pull you back up from your personal pits when there's no external other to afford you that reassurance? When you decide that you will write a letter to the show, I want you to indulge yourself as much or as little as possible. For some, this means purchasing some luxurious specialty paper and new ink or pens. For others, this will be about letting yourself hang free and loose and write your letter on the nearest scraps of paper because you will be indulging in the experience that you are outrageously interesting and worthy of attention exactly as you are, with precisely the materials you have in your sphere of influence at present. No matter where you find yourself in the examples above, understand that the selection of your writing materials, setting, the way you compose your submission, what you want to wear while writing it, where you want to be sitting, all of it, it's all an exercise for you to get comfortable and to come back home to yourself. I want you to have the experience that writing a letter is an act of meeting a deep inner need. I want you to witness how giving room for the quiet voice can be fulfilling beyond measure. I want you to feel more reassured and comforted in the knowledge that your letter will find a home. Your letter will have an active viewer and participant. Your words are not lost in the ether, and your words are not lost in you. You will have given the quiet voice an external place to inhabit, and you now occupy a new part of physical reality too. This is how we enter our personal altered states of consciousness. We can deliberately create experiences we have not yet been granted. We can create them together, and we can each have our own definition of the magic found inside. I'd like you to choose an alias that feels most fitting for the quiet voice. If the quiet voice had a personality or defined identity, what pseudonym or pen name provides it with a space to fully come through? It's like crafting a screen name online, but I do want to place the idea in this space that whatever pseudonym you resonate with the most, the better. This will nudge you to a greater depth and expression, and you can still be under the cloak of obscurity. Select your writing utensils thoughtfully. Do you have a favorite pen? I use a fountain pen when writing about anything I take very seriously. It automatically pushes me in a mental space of thinking, this has more weight to it somehow. It's graver. What I am writing in this moment requires something from me, requires me to sit in attention I do not carelessly give to general aspects of my life. It is a noticeable change I am implementing in my observable reality, and I like to think that I am endeavoring to meet these objects. My fountain pen and favorite sheen ink, my nemesis notebook that feels the best to write in on a sensory level, to meet them at the same level of respect that they afford me. They occupy space for me. They hold open avenues for me to freely express myself, all at an objective standpoint. They do not judge me. They do not tell me what I write is wrong. They do not scoff when I am exploring my internal landscapes and trying to witness new shades of my being. This experience for me is totally wide open, and it helps me to recognize the people and spaces in physical reality that are more like this or are not like this at all. Because it affords me this perspective, I view these writing materials as protective. They are my guardians in this current trip through reality. They keep my secrets and tend to the vital function to us all that is open and unmitigated expression. They are the keepers of my quiet voice. Choose the paper, photograph, writing instrument, pseudonym that will be the keeper of the quiet voice. Choose these items in a way where you're recognizing that they are encouraging you in the exploration of your deepest self. Before beginning the writing process, I'd like you to think about times in your life when you felt the most seen, not just when you recognized someone was paying attention to you, but truly seeing you and witnessing the entirety of your beingness. Let yourself fall into this memory. What did it feel like to be mentally and emotionally swaddled, protected, held, rejuvenated? What did it feel like to have your mind acknowledged on an intimate level? If you've never experienced this in the way that you've always wanted, understand that providing room for the quiet voice to emerge is radical. It is love. It is being witnessed. When we can see ways through to the witnessing, that itself is love. When we can afford ourselves time itself to occupy the airwaves and express the quiet voice, we are meeting needs that we do not often admit we have. All of the above is how we can shift into altered states. When we do this, we may recognize new sensations in the body, sometimes called the flow. It can feel like a slow, rhythmic pendulation. It can feel like a wave gently thrumming up against us. It can feel however you felt the first time you saw a large mountain range. It can feel like the sensation that overtakes us after we cry in the presence of someone who genuinely loves us without judgment, as they hold us and we are overcome with that same resonating vibrance. This flow courses through the body from the top of the spine to the tips of our fingers and toes. It comes on typically when we are truly engaged with the places, communities, people, ideas, concepts, music, songs, films, settings, and sceneries that harmonize with that inner chamber, the home of the quiet voice. It can come on when we are deep in personal exchange with another, responses and recognition crackling through the sky like lightning, our own minds lit up with possibilities and potentials that we might not have considered before those moments of epiphany. This is the charge of life. This is the charge of the current and the flow and everything that is alive. This is the energetic current of magic, too. Finding various elements and pieces that help you recognize when this is switched on is exactly how you engage in the process of your own magic. When you begin writing your submission, flip through various pseudonyms and pen names until you land on something that has the zing of this charge to it, the one that provides a sensory reaction in your body. When selecting the paper or postcard you will write on, carry out the same process. Try to increase the sensation. Sit deeper in it if at all possible. Place your feet and hands flat on their respective surfaces and try to feel the rhythm move through your entire body. If you are using voice to text or speech input to dictate your submission, imagine the current moving from your lips to the microphone. This is the vibration of your inner chamber, your essence and quiet voice. Pick up your writing utensil and imagine the chain of the current flowing from your hand and out of the selected instrument. It flows out of you through the medium and into the physical container. It is my suggestion that you allow this current, this flow, to move you through the experience of externalizing the quiet voice. Allow yourself to lose track of time as you investigate what it is you truly wish to convey. Allow yourself to lose track of time as you investigate the current happenings of your life. What do you most need clarity on? As you filter through these possibilities, notice if the current grows more intense or less so in your questioning. This happens to me in psychic work. I liken it to a game of hot or cold. And I wait for the current to notify me if a question I pose to the universe is more or less correct. You could attempt to ask these framing questions along the lines of, help me notice the areas of life where I might be able to use divination. Is it career, personal relationships, overall direction, etc.? You can flip through the topics in your mind and notice if the current feels stronger or less so with each potential category. This is the current and the quiet voice assisting you in your own navigation. You may write your submission however you wish. It can be lyrical in nature, it can be direct or vague, it can be romantic, it can be somewhat silly, it can be written in a way you may not typically allow yourself to do on a day-to-day basis. It just must be regarding a current area of life or self that you'd like me to provide you clarity. You may adorn your submissions with doodles, stickers, etc. You can add your own bits of razzle-dazzle, however you allow yourself to become one with the novelty and whimsical nature of play. Do that here. Every aspect of this creation process feeds into what comes out in the trance and psychic interpretation of your submission. I ask that once you are done writing about your topic, come up with a short numerical sequence, a pin that you will add on your submission. Keep this number for your reference by making note of or taking a photograph of your submission. I will not state this number when interpreting your letter on the show. This numerical sequence of your choosing will be used if you so wish to leave a review follow-up of the interpretation of your letter after it has been released on the podcast. You will find a form on my website where you can enter this pin, at which point this will confirm that you were the author creator of the letter in question, because only you and I know the sequence. So that's why it's imperative you choose a sequence pin, add it to your submission, and somehow keep track of this number ID for later reference. This is how you confirm that you alone did in fact submit your letter without revealing your identity. I wish for the protective nature of anonymity to be preserved at every step of the submission and podcast process. After you have submitted your letter, I retrieve it from my PO box. At this point, I will already be taking note of everything I am feeling, experiencing, and sensing while en route to my destination. The divination aspect of the show is on many levels constantly occurring. This intro episode is divination. Your letter writing process is a spell. The events that occur the day I read your letter is divination, and so on. Before even reading your letter, I sit with it. I hold it in my hands. I document sensory data that occurs at this part of the process. You've imbued this physical item, now talismanic, with your psychic and magical essence. The data is effectively already there for me to interpret. Once I reach an obvious stopping point, or at the moment I feel I have engaged with it in a respectful manner before reading, I open your writing. This is where I notice your pseudonym, the shape of your handwriting, colors of ink, words that immediately leap off the page in my direction, and in this witnessing, I continue to take note of all other sense perceptions that arise. Your submission is not just the physical letter itself. So once I have read your letter and understand loosely the topic of concern or area of life on which you wish me to divine, I will enter a deep trance psychic headspace. I will enter my inner chamber of the mind, the same as I do in my professional client work. I will clock all that comes up as I enter this space. Then I simply talk about it. I discuss everything fielded in relation to your letter. I analyze and interpret it in the way that feels the most correct and natural for me. And in accordance to the nature of your submission, this is where I offer what some might call advice or actionable steps, but I also talk about any relevant info that I see in your periphery. What is in your current sphere and how might it relate to you? Time frames can make themselves known in this phase, so I'll discuss that as well. This section is what comprises an entire episode of Post Psychic. This year, I was lucky enough to have the time and the resources to travel to my Saturn Trine ascendant line per astrocartography to receive my vaccination shots. I felt like this would be a swing in a favorable direction and that it couldn't hurt the longevity of protection, stabilization of my body, and odds of health, and I hoped it would fortify my chances of staying relatively safe through the remainder of this pandemic. Saturn in my natal chart can be found in my fifth house, conjunct my moon, and Aquarius. I drove 130 miles one way to get the shots by myself. I needed a solo trip, even though there was clearly no foreseeable recreation ahead of me. Since March 2020, I've dined out once in public in a very open and deserted patio setting with another Saturnian, someone I played a show with during the years of my Saturn square before the Saturn return, in a town I lived in around my 12th house perfection year. This Saturn return has largely displayed themes of revisiting experiences and places that still presented internal challenges, that still required an amount of attention from me in terms of realizing perspectives or takeaways that I had not been able to access in the first quarter of my 20s. I've had several experiences on that Saturn Trine ascendant line, this being the first to crop back up during my Saturn return. A surprise date in another lifetime at a vintage music store. I found myself sitting outside of it and actually feeling grateful to have experienced someone knowing me well enough in that intersection of time and space to show me that store at all. It felt like Saturn was asking me to see how I had changed almost entirely. That some things are so fleeting. How we may never experience the thrills of what naive romance can bestow upon us in exactly the same way. How we may have wasted various excursions or precious years on those who did not deserve it. Saturn seemed to be asking me if I could remember what it felt like to walk through 4 to 5 floors of that giant brick building with a younger mind. Remember the light filtering through windows in a room as it lit up guitars that stored so many secrets. Saturn seemed to be making me see that perhaps I was the only one seeing possibility everywhere I looked. How often did I view something as strange and marvelous and exciting in a way that totally blew my head open, and how often did that happen for someone I spent my time with? I've attended concerts that changed me forever on that Saturn Trine ascendant line. In high school, with someone who is still my best friend. Nights that were wild and just out there. Specifically how it felt to stop at a gas station at 1 a.m., preparing for a 2-hour drive back home, sitting on the edge of the back of my Jeep as we silently chugged water, covered in sweat from screaming our hearts out. Those were first for me then, and I did not realize how in many ways they would be crystallized in those moments forever. How special they would live on to be, and how often I would compare other situations of my life to them. Were they as exhilarating? Did I feel completely spent and satisfied in the same ways? I lived on that Saturn Trine ascendant line for its season 2. During this phase, I also had a dedicated rehearsal space, and I was as odd as you'd expect. The owner of the rehearsal space called himself a wizard, and that doesn't surprise me now like it did then. The building held a recording studio and a freight elevator. I played piano with kids from the local neighborhood. I'll never forget their faces as we sat on the piano bench together, both of us having new experiences. It was one of the best times of my life. These slivers still have the power to overtake me even now. And that is the sheer force of Saturn. It encompasses everything for me. I arrived at the vaccine location and found myself sitting next to the elderly man who had administered me my vaccination. I was dressed in all black nondescript clothing, heavy men's boots, and a hoodie. I removed it to the men's t-shirt underneath as he said, "Hey, you're the most prepared person I've seen all day. You came in comfortable, non-fussy attire, and I don't even have to tell you to take the extra layers off." And if that isn't the most coded Saturnian message I've ever heard, I'm not even sure how else it could possibly be presented. The fifth house in a natal chart is related to that which enlivens us. It is often correlated with the generative principle. Thus, childbirth, of course, offspring, creation, romance, sex, pleasure, love, all of that. Saturn here has often asked me how much I am willing to back my strange darlings. My creations that have nothing to do with continuing my namesake genetically. How can I love the strangeness of my experience and see the ways that it has loved me back, even though it never appears in the way that I expect? Saturn in the fifth has found me songwriting in my early 20s with Saturnian characters three times my age, looking for their authoritative blessing. Every action for me emblematic of someone seeking approval for their own creativity, a desire to create something that hadn't already existed in my current sphere of reality. Saturn in the fifth is not really understanding what childhood was ever supposed to mean. A personal experience of perhaps not really having a childhood, feeling confused when someone talks about their childhood with admiration, feeling confused when hearing about certain freedoms enjoyed by others as a child. Saturn here conjunct the moon has meant for me that I have only experienced true joy in venturing away from everything I've known. I have attempted to bring others along with me on that path, hoping they too would enjoy these same things, and it only lasts for so long. Soon they want to go back to what is comfortable and what is safe. The problem with this is that I've never experienced safety or comfort in those spaces. On a basic level, it is something I wish I understood, but still leaves me bewildered. I do not know how to interact with it in the way that I can observe others engaging with spaces of comfort, safety, or warmth, and I'm not sure how I'm supposed to feel there, what is expected of me, what the dynamics are. It mostly feels like confusion. Saturn conjunct moon in the fifth house is needing secure attachment to experiences, people, places, desires, mediums that may seem peculiar to the outside world. Saturn conjunct moon in Aquarius is finding secure attachment and unpredictability, being the proverbial trip sitter, but often not having someone around that can offer you that same experience in the middle of chaotic or unknown times. It is being grounded by peculiarity. It is being grounded by what might be defined by others as madness. And it is forming very real understandings of what it means to be seen as wild by other people, an inability to portray yourself consistently, and the pain that this can bring. The pain that can feel extremely enduring to often feel so estranged from a sense of normality. This estrangement has only mattered when I have tried to exist within confined spaces that were never created with those of us who have been estranged in mind at the onset. Estrangement can be a lifesaver, and estrangement can show you that you can survive in the spaces others deem as wild. The events that took place during various years of my life that correlate back to my Saturn trine ascendant line throw me upon my own meaning of creation, expression, fun, love, romance, vulnerability. That which we create and put into external spaces that lives on in ways we no longer have any control over. That which leaves impressions upon other people. That which we must release and how we come to terms with that experience of releasing. During my mini solo excursion, I kept thinking about what the next chapters or other side of my Saturn return might be. As much as my Saturn return thus far has been about doubling down on my own inner yearnings, as well as shedding layers related to the fifth house that have long left my life. How do I define romance now in ways that make sense for me? How strange will love often be for me? How do I come to terms with my bizarre relationship with pleasure and my bizarre relationships with others and the things we create and the spaces we share? The idea for post-psychic popped into my head almost completely fully fleshed out as I left the city around sunset, having just visited a bookshop dedicated to the occult. At no point in the last few Saturn perfection years, nor during the time of my Saturn return that has already transpired, did I consider starting a podcast for even a moment. I did not want to face the memories inside of myself related to recording and storing audio. Memories tied to people and places no longer in my life. Memories tied to lost hopes and dreams that I sacrificed to hopefully dream again on my own one day. Saturn puts us up against that which we often do not wish to face, the great loss of our lives, the strange darlings hidden in the backs of closets and under stairwells, the laughter and old memories buried deep within that require a considerable amount of energy to ignore day after day. This was crushing for me. It was another thing that would require me to shed layers and get real about my creativity once more. You mean I couldn't carry on continuing to deny parts of myself? The parts that already existed at one time in microscopic flashbangs of my life? Couldn't that be enough for one lifetime? My fourth house perfection year, ruled by Saturn, found me leaving the place I had called home, a home inside a relationship that took me to various states and inside various experiences, a relationship that was forged over music. At the end of the significant part of my life, I heard, maybe music was the only thing that ever kept us together. I was hurt by this in the moment, but now I think it's true. When the music left our lives, we slowly pulled away from each other as well. In the active phases of pulling away, I would tuck myself inside of the garage, drinking giant bottles of Cabernet and writing endless amounts of songs on scraps of paper. Mercury as ruler of the 12th house. I would let myself get lost in worlds that didn't exist because I no longer felt safe or comfortable or held in the physical home I lived in. I would spend hours at my computer with my recording equipment, whispering my secrets into an AKG C414, playing a 1976 Gil dreadnought, trying to make real things that long stopped existing in the dynamic I was holding on to. It took 3 years for me to even want to consider recording again. At this point, I felt like a baby deer standing in the middle of a road with a truck coming right at me, whenever thinking about the concept of creating something and letting anyone hear it, let alone myself. Still, post-psychic as a concept flashed into my head, fully formed as if I were already a few episodes in and traveling to the post office to retrieve letters people took time out of their busy lives to write and send into the show. I lost myself in this idea at first. Could that be real? Could that happen? I was alone in my car and instantly felt connected to a slew of people. And in that moment, for the first time over the past several years, I didn't feel alone anymore. I made that trip in March 2021, and it's taken me most of the spring and now the summer to reach the point where I am writing the script ready to share it with whoever is currently listening. The idea for the show frightened me and filled me with an organic excitement I don't often feel. It would require me to face those old pieces of the past, shed them, rewrite them in new experiences, and be willing to ask people to come along with me. Saturn seemed to be showing me that I was more ready to shed the past and move forward than I thought. I realized that I was probably as uncomfortable and terrified with the concept of creating this as those who I hope to be listeners might be regarding anything to do with the paranormal. In this, we have the deepest bond. This is the shared space where we can create new experiences together, hold each other with comfortable distance that feels protective and offers a window into aspects of life with which both of us may have not had much exposure. I am willing to be a trip sitter and metaphorical guide into your unknown, as I hope you are willing to meet me as I walk further into the unknowns of my own life. I knew that traveling to my Saturn trine ascendant line would perhaps provide some support to my existence as a whole, but I was overwhelmingly unprepared to be ushered into the direction of a new vehicle for creativity. A Saturn in the center of the stage of my fifth house Saturn return, asking me to create something new that would fulfill me in ways I never knew I needed. The ascendant as the place that most represents our entire beingness and the point in the chart from which we inevitably encounter the experience of our lives. What carries us forward when we have been most lost and confused? What carries us forward when we have had to make the best of our estrangements? I knew that this is why post-psychic had to be carried out no matter how long it took me to get to this point. It is refined understanding of a solitary experience of the world that I know very well. The experience of the unknowns of feeling totally isolated and needing to continually find hope within that bubble. To continue to pursue joy when it isn't just made readily available to you. Post-psychic is a podcast centered around the sharing of occultic experiences, and I hope it fortifies you as much as I hope it fortifies me. Thank you for listening.